Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Sponsorship of this program was provided in part by
SLVoices.com is the website to find out all that's going on in the San Luis Valley. Join our Facebook group, SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley, to keep up to date on events, meetings, and other happenings in our area. Please call us at 719-239-1819 or 719-239-1811 or fill out our event form found in the pull-down menu on slvoices.com to let us know of your upcoming event or even to promote your business or nonprofit. We have a sponsorship program for nonprofits that offers discounted prices or programs that provide for a podcast at no cost to your organization. Call us for all details today. This podcast is also sponsored in part by Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce. The Monta Vista Chamber exists to serve its members and the community at large. Their mission, through the use of effective marketing and promoting, is to create a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for their community members. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monta Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. That's montavistachamber.org. And yes, SL Voices is a member of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce.
Do you recognize that sound?
Yes, the cranes are coming! The cranes are coming!
Those who have been here know it's the sound of Sandhill Cranes. And that means it's nearly time for spring up here and the annual Monta Vista Crane Festival, where the cranes meet the mountains. This year, everything is taking place on March 8th through the 10th.
The spectacular festival is a collaborative effort between the Friends of the San Luis Valley National Wildlife Refuge, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, the San Luis Valley Refuge Complex, the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Monta Vista. A visit to the Monta Vista Crane Festival is your opportunity to see an amazing natural spectacle, as well as experience a unique local community nestled in the high alpine desert of the San Luis Valley.
Thanks to Jerry Apker of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce, SL Voices had the unique opportunity to sit down and talk with several very knowledgeable members of this collaborative effort. We learned more about the events, the viewing opportunities, the Sandhill Cranes themselves, and it is our hope that you learn more too. Now let's get to that interview.
I'm Adam, and we're in the studio again, talking about the Monta Vista Crane Festival. This is the 36th annual Crane Festival, and joining us in the studio are Suzanne Beauchesne, Deborah Callahan, and Tim Armstrong. Deborah, you are the refugee manager here?
I'm the refuge manager for Alamosa and Monta Vista National Wildlife Refuges in the Valley, so work with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
And Deb, you are a crane volunteer?
I am, yeah. I'm a retired wildlife biologist. I used to work for the Bureau of Reclamation and now work on this festival.
And Tim, you are president of the Friends Group here and a biologist at Adams State University, and I'm told volunteer extraordinaire as well.
Well, we have a lot of extraordinary volunteers with the Friends and other nonprofits in the Valley. So yeah, I teach vertebrate ecology at Adams State. We took this festival over from Greg Thompson, who had run this festival for 30 some years. And so when Greg was finally tired of doing it or done doing it, we kind of took that over and we've been working on that ever since.
Wonderful. We certainly appreciate you all coming by the studio to talk to us about this, and let's jump right into the story of the Crane Festival itself. Again, this is the 36th annual we're celebrating this year, so it's been going on since 1984?
Yes. The festival started, it was called the Whooping Crane Festival. At the time, there were some fish and wildlife. We were trying to recover the whooping cranes from near extinction, and they designed a program where they were fostering them. They were taking eggs out of whooping crane nests. There were some wild whooping cranes left, about 20-some. They nested up in Wood Buffalo Provincial Park up in Canada, and they were taking an egg because the whooping cranes typically would lay multiple eggs and then really only fledge one young. And so they would take an egg, and then they were putting them in sandhill crane nests with the idea that the sandhills would raise them and they could increase the population of the whooping cranes more rapidly. But what happened was the whooping crane chicks that were fostered, of course, they grew up looking at sandhill cranes and thinking, hey, that's my mom and dad. And, you know, they don't really know what they look like themselves. And so then when they did reach sexual maturity, they started inbreeding with the sandhills. And that was really kind of the end of that program. The biologists weren't looking for hybrid cranes. They were looking for purebred whooping cranes. So that was really the origin of this festival.
What has changed over the years?
Well, the whooping cranes are gone, for one. They gradually died off, really just kind of one at a time. There were, I think at the peak, 20-some whooping cranes coming through the valley here. I think they peaked about 30, low 30s. And then when the program ended, the whooping cranes gradually died. Natural mortality, hitting power lines, and just accidental deaths primarily. By the end of the 1990s, there were only a handful of cranes left coming through the valley. And then when those disappeared, then we turned it into a sandhill crane festival instead.
I guess the one thing I was going to add, which was really cool with the background of the project, was the fostering that they did in the nests where the sandhill cranes raised them was on a National Wildlife Refuge in Idaho, Grays Lake National Wildlife Refuge. And then the sandhills, which was cool about it, they taught them the migration route back to the valley for spring and fall and then down to New Mexico. And I think a lot of them were at Bosque del Apache Refuge. So that part of the program did work. But like Tim said, the other issues overcame that project.
Okay. And interestingly enough, that project is not dead. The efforts moved to the east, and so now they are still trying to recover whooping cranes. We don't have them in our flyway anymore, but those efforts continue at Nisida National Wildlife Refuge.
In Wisconsin,
and then they're still raising whooping cranes there, and now they are hand-raising them, and then they're flying them down to Florida on their migration route with a ultralight, with people dressed like whooping cranes, you know, so they don't imprint on humans.
Sure. What is new this year?
This year, we've got some brand new tours, and one of our most interesting tours, I think, is a bus tour that's going to take you down south of Alamosa and watching sandhill cranes in the farm fields, which they use in the spring to eat grain that has been left on the ground after it's been harvested. And then you'll go on to the Colorado Farm Brewery, and you'll learn about how the barley is used here in the valley, and that company makes their own barley malt that they sell to other breweries and use themselves, and then they make their own beer. So you get a chance to go see a brewery and how the processes are done and see cranes surrounding the farm. And
drink good beer.
And yeah,
drink some good beer. There
some,
you go.
Have some taste of some really good beer. So that's one of the really new things this year. So
John Rowinski is going to be doing a birding tour at Home Lake. John is a local bird watcher and really is a person who keeps most of the records of birds coming and going in the valley here. And John will be leading a tour Saturday morning down to Home Lake. So we're excited to have him do that as well.
So that's really what we're seeing. You drive through Monta Vista and the surrounding areas in the next few weeks, and the sandhill cranes are everywhere. So they're out in the fields eating the grains and things that were left from harvest.
Yeah, the difference is everybody does typically know what the sandhill crane is, and they see them in the farm fields and they go, oh, I've seen them. But typically when you're on the Highway 160 or driving around other parts of the refuge or the valley, you'll see a few hundred on somebody's field. The difference is going to the refuge is they're very concentrated down there because a lot of the food that's available on farm fields was eaten last fall. And this year there's a lot of snow cover. So it's something kind of different this year since I've been here. So we also provide barley down on the refuge. So you'll see 5,000, 10,000 birds in one spot. So when people go down to the refuge, even though they see, oh yeah, we've seen the cranes, it's like, no, you need to go to the refuge and see the cranes.
There's nothing quite as spectacular as when a bald eagle or a golden eagle flies over and several thousand cranes kick up along with 3,000 or 4,000 ducks. And it's just this incredible flight. not that we want to encourage the birds to, you know, fly or to harass them in any way, but, you know, these natural predators will move over and one bird will go and then the whole group of them will go. And it really is spectacular to see.
The thing I really love about it is you go out there and the cranes are always calling as they're flying. So they have this incredible sound that's just so haunting and so different that you hear.
Prehistoric.
And to me, the arrival of the cranes and the crane festival is really the marker of spring here in the valley and hearing those cranes flying over. And that's how you know that maybe there's hope. The days are getting longer and that long winter's coming to a close.
Let's discuss some of the various activities that are going on during this event. There's an awful lot planned. First up, why would someone want to come to the Crane Festival?
Here's the place to learn about the Sandhill Cranes. Mm-hmm. And we have sunrise and sunset tours that I'll let Suzanne talk about because she leads those.
And those are all guided tours with refuge staff or volunteers that know a lot about cranes and the refuge management, what we do. So it's a really good opportunity. Even though a lot of folks don't like crowds, we're still not that crowded of a festival. Mm-hmm. And there's equal opportunity. It's not like there's going to be 100 people down at the pull-offs and there won't be any cranes there. They're still going to be there. So it's a great opportunity to learn about the cranes and the refuge, but also all the other tours that usually change every single year. There's so many things going on in this valley. It's incredible, and most people don't know half of what's going on in the valley.
I saw that some of the events are already sold out, but you mm-hmm. have things still going on. As you mentioned, the crane sunrise and sunset tours. There's a craft and nature fair going on, the farm brewery tour, valley raptor tours. There's a 3D tour of the San Luis Valley geology. And of course, the keynote speaker Saturday evening, Irv Nichols and Sandra Knoll, covering migrating with the Sandhill Cranes.
Sandra and Irv actually have been volunteering for the refuge for a couple years now. In their time when they're not here, they're following Sandhill Cranes all over the place. They go volunteer at Bosque in Nebraska at the other crane festival, which will be right after ours. They have followed the birds all the way to Alaska, where the lesser subspecies of Sandhill Crane migrate to the nest. So they have a lot of experience. They know all the answers to all the hard questions that people give us. We always have to go find them. It's like, Sandra, Irv, I got this question asked. And they just know so much because they're hanging out with the cranes all the time.
And wow. And they lead some of our sunrise and sunset tours. So if you're lucky, they're your tour guide.
Yeah.
And just are a wealth of information. So while you're driving down to the refuge, they're telling you all about Sandhill Cranes and what's going on. And then we get out of the buses at the refuge and then we're on the ground and watching the birds, and people can ask questions of the experts, Suzanne, the other Fish and Wildlife Service folks, and Sandra Nerve.
It is a great introduction about the Sandhill Cranes to go on one tour, because then you can go back on your own at all locations that we take folks. So it's really good basis of showing people where to go and see the birds on their own.
Yeah, and you don't have to go on a tour. The refuge is open during that time. All areas are open, and people are definitely welcome to drive themselves. Let's see, I think we're allowed to go on to the refuge an hour before sunrise and an hour after sunset. And so people are definitely welcome to do that. But yeah, I mean, I came for many years, many, many years to watch the Sandhill Cranes. And it wasn't until I became a volunteer did I ever go on a bus tour. And I thought it was really worth it. And it's just a lot of fun to go with all the folks and hear all the questions and, you know, get your answers to those. So I wanted to mention the keynote address is Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Valley 3 Theater. That is open to the public. It's free. We always ask for donations because we depend on small ticket fees for the tours and donations to support our festival. Yeah, Sandra and Irv will be doing a talk with a lot of photography. Actually, Irv is a retired photographer for a newspaper, so I really expect to see some gorgeous slides from both of them during their talk. Just don't miss that one. I think it'll be a really good talk. The other talks we have, well, we've got our very own Andrew Valdez from the Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve, who's going to do the 3D geology tour. And I understand he's going to bring glasses for us all to wear.
3D glasses.
Yeah.
I've been to one of his presentations. It's really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. So you'll really learn about how, you know, the valley was formed and why it looks like how it is. And you'll never see the valley the same again when you go to his thing. The Sangre de Cristo Heritage Tour is going to be put on by that local group, and I don't really know exactly what spots they're going to, but I think it's going to be really interesting, and not only for people from outside the valley, but also people in the valley. We've got a movie on Friday night. In the last, 3 years, we've had a coloring contest that we've distributed pages with sandhill cranes at the Bill Metz School. Each child has an opportunity to color those drawings and then turn those in, and we have judges, and we give out really great prizes to the kids. And every year we've been able to get donation for binoculars. So first prize has been binoculars. And so we've started doing the Friday night movie, which takes place at 7:30 at Valley 3. And that's always more kid-oriented, though I think all of us adults have always enjoyed the movies too. And this year it's Turtle, The Incredible Journey. And it's a female loggerhead turtle and her path and her journey and her life. So that one, I've seen the trailer, has spectacular photography.
What is two Valley Raptor tours? As big as these sandhill cranes are, they have predators too.
Yeah, their main predators are eagles. And Tim talked about watching the eagles. And actually last fall, I happened to be down watching the cranes. And the cranes all kind of bunched up and a bunch of them all flew in. And yeah, it was because there was two golden eagles flying overhead. They didn't take the opportunity to go after the cranes, but they were there. Yeah, that's the main predator.
The Raptor tours are run typically by the Hawks Aloft group from Albuquerque, and they bring up some rehab birds, birds that have been injured, who are educational birds. They're not healthy enough to be released into the wild, and then they'll lead those tours. And there's always a pretty good selection of raptors in the valley at that time of year, and so you never know quite what you might see. Eagles, a lot of hawks, some various falcons at that time. So that's always an exciting time to be out. Usually they'll find a couple of greenhorned owl nests to take a look at. The owls seem to be everybody's favorite, so they're a popular bird to see.
Well, what else can people do while they're here? I mean, this is the town of Monta Vista. There's a lot else going on.
At the Sky High Recreation Center, there will be 60-plus vendors. I think there's a few slots left. It's a variety of really beautiful arts.
Yeah, we've got antique birdhouses, locally made fudge and chocolate bars, professional wildlife photographers, mixed media, wildlife photography and paintings, glasswork, recycled steel, creative sculptures. We've got over 20 new vendors this year. There's 6 slots left, so if you're an artist, get in there.
I always tend to do my Christmas shopping there.
Yep, that's always a really good idea. And that takes place on Friday at 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Saturday 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Sunday 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
There will also be a lot of the federal agencies there. So the Park Service will be there, Fish and Wildlife Service, Friends Group will have a booth there, BLM, Forest Service, and our local land trust agency or organization, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, Colorado State Forest. So there'll be a lot of different agencies that you can talk to, and you'll be able to get trail maps at that point and get more information on what you can do on other public lands. And
it's a great way to come in and learn a lot of information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's at the Sky High Stampede Complex. And this is also where the tours leave and return from, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. We load there at the Sky High. And on Saturday morning, there's a 6 a.m. birders breakfast. So for those that get up early and for the people who are going to take the 7 a.m. bird tour, there's breakfast that Kiwanis does. And they do eggs and pancakes and bacon, I think, if you get there early enough.
Or just something for everybody.
Yep.
All weekend long. It really is. Well, let's take a look at all of this from the perspective of the sandhill cranes themselves. First off, Suzanne, what are we getting here? Is it the greater sandhill crane, the lesser sandhill crane? I did a little reading on this, and apparently there are even 6 subspecies as well.
You're right. It can be a little confusing because they all look similar, but they're either in different locations that they don't mix, or the sizes are really different. Our main population is the greater sandhill cranes that we're very excited about coming to the valley, because the entire population of this group of graders comes to the valley in the spring and the fall. Last count was about 22,000 birds, and that is the population goal, is around 20,000 birds, so they're doing really well. We do have quite a few lesser subspecies in that group, too.
Mm-hmm.
The way you'll be able to tell those apart, there's a short one and a tall one, and usually the bill on the graders are much more heavy. I can't really tell that well just from watching in the field, but if it looks like there's a baby next to one, that's a lesser. It's not a baby. So the lessers, they are mostly in the central flyway. So they winter in Mexico, Texas, in that area. And then they migrate to Nebraska, which is another spectacular place to go visit and see them there. And then they go all the way to the Arctic. Well, they'll start breeding in the prairie potholes, Wisconsin, Minnesota, all the way through Canada up into Alaska. They number, last count I heard, was 700,000. So there's a lot more birds there. But this population is pretty special because they're staying here for about 2 months until they go a little bit further north to the greater Yellowstone area. So they don't travel that far compared to the lessers, but it's pretty special.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about the population here is our scenery is just so much more beautiful than Nebraska that it's worth coming here just to see that with the sun coming up in the morning and then in the evening when the Sangre de Cristos turn all that red color in the late afternoon. Mm. You know, it's just really hard to beat.
This is true.
And what about the yearly migration pattern? Where are they coming from and where are they actually going to, the greater sandhill cranes that come through here?
So they're coming from New Mexico and points further south, maybe a little bit in Arizona, but they do have a heavy concentration at Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge, just south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So they're starting to trickle in already. It's the beginning of February, and they're right on time. So they're traveling up here, and they'll spend quite a bit of time here. So when we have the Crane Festival, that'll be pretty much the peak population. And then they'll start trickling north until maybe mid-April is when the last bigger flocks are gone.
Okay.
And then they go up to the greater Yellowstone area. So they're nesting in, well, Steamboat, Colorado, they're nesting. They're nesting in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, for the most part. I think they're kind of expanding out a little bit where they're nesting.
And then it's where they go and they have their young, and then they turn around and come back through in the fall.
And they'll come back through here in the fall, and the population will all be here again, but they won't be that concentrated on the refuge. They'll be scattered all over the valley because there's a lot more wetlands available and a lot more food available throughout the whole valley.
Yeah, and it's really cool when you see the cranes. You'll see them in groups of threes and fours, and those are family groups. So the young migrate with their parents when they come up in the fall from the Bosque del Apache Refuge. It's mom and dad and their offspring, and when they get here, they're starting to think about heading north, and they're going up to their breeding in the spring, and they're starting to kick out the young ones at that point. So there you kind of see some behavior going on, and they're pushing them out in the spring. Yeah, they're all look about the same size, you know, because they've really grown up, but they're kicking them out.
The other great thing about the spring as opposed to the fall migration is the breeding adults are getting ready. They're reinforcing their pair bonds. They're doing a lot of dancing. That's just fantastic to watch them as they're pairing up, and you know, they'll be a while before they mate, but they're thinking about it and they're getting ready for it. So that's always fun to watch.
Why Monta Vista area? What is so special about this area that the Sandhill Cranes stop and spend so much time? You said a month or two they're here.
Yeah, really going both directions too. They're here longer. They spend more time in the valley here than on either their breeding or wintering grounds in an average year. Well, we don't really know why, but we do know that this is an ancient migration. These are old, old birds. The oldest fossil cranes are about 100 million years old. So this is an ancient lineage of birds. And the original name for the San Juan Mountains in the 1500s, there are records, they were the Sierra de las Grullas, the Mountains of the Cranes. And so we know there's rock art here depicting cranes. So these birds have been coming through here before, probably well before there were ever humans here. Today, the refuges are here. There is food available. There's an agriculture base here with the grains, provides a lot of food. And the valley has got a lot of wetlands, at least historically here, for those birds.
Yeah, and they'll feed in the wetlands too. And I actually equate them to grizzly bears because they eat pretty much everything except dead things. So
okay.
The carrion. So they,
right.
I mean, they eat insects, grain, fish, frogs, other birds, the eggs.
Mice.
Oh my gosh, they love mice. So they really can vary their diet to find what they need. There is a lot of grain in the valley on private land also. And then in the spring, we're focusing on trying to improve the health so they're really in good condition when they go to nest. So that's why we've been growing barley for many years.
Do they have an impact on the other wildlife in this area too, as they come in and leave?
I would say that's an interesting question. Probably only in terms of their predation, in the wetlands, they are, as Suzanne said, they're eating a little bit of everything, but they're only here temporarily, and so I would expect that probably not a huge impact.
When talking about agriculture, there's really no impact because there's nothing growing when they're here. So a lot of other places, they will be, they're really hard on winter wheat crops. They can be on early barley or other small grain crops. But here we're not growing anything right now. And so really no impact on landowners in that sense.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I've watched interaction between the farmers and the cranes here in the valley. And I've watched someone picking up their bales of probably alfalfa, and the cranes are in his field, and the cranes just kind of barely move out of his way. You know, they're just like, oh, here comes the truck, I'll scoot over, and you know, the farmer doesn't seem to care. And well, I think he actually enjoys seeing the cranes there in his field.
And something I learned yesterday from one of our cooperators that farm on the refuge for us, basically, with the concentration of birds that are on the refuge, their scat actually improved the soil quality. It's like, oh, that's fertilizer. It's fertilizer. So it's another interesting impact that I hadn't thought about.
Well, that's an interesting symbiotic relationship then. Their eggs, young, nesting habits, anything you can enlighten us on?
Well, they do mate for life. Like Tim was saying, in the spring, they're reforming their parabonds, or younger birds, which they don't breed until they're about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. New birds will be forming parabonds here. So they mate for life, and they typically have 2 eggs. I've heard of more than that, but really, it's 2 eggs, and for the most part, only one bird will fledge, because it's really hard to keep control of 2 little babies that are flightless for many months. I used to work up in Montana where they do nest, and you would see the little colts. The babies are called colts because their legs are really long, like a horse. There's not that much protection except for their parents' sharp bills from a lot of different predators.
Anything about their status, conservation efforts that are going on for the cranes?
Well, the sandhills are one of the few crane species globally that are their populations are healthy. The majority of our cranes are listed either, like our whooping cranes are listed under the Endangered Species Act or under CITES. And so globally, these birds, the group, as a group, cranes really are struggling. Many of their populations are declining. And there are some smaller cranes that are still have healthy populations in the old world. Here, the sandhill cranes are certainly one of our success stories. I mean, they've never really been threatened, but they're doing very well. And they do well around, you know, with human agriculture, so they've adapted pretty well.
And I guess a lot of what we do on the refuge is conservation practices for them to ensure that they are in healthy condition to go breed and have enough energy for the female to lay eggs, which takes a lot of energy.
Anything else? At this point, I'm just kind of opening it up to anything that we haven't covered that you all want to mention.
Yeah, actually, we did not cover. We touched on Greg Thompson, who ran the festival for many, many years, pretty much on his own with a little bit of help, and made it into what it is really today until he retired. So then, thankfully, the Friends Group of the National Wildlife Refuges in the Valley, the City of Monte Vista, and the Chamber of Monte Vista volunteered to take it over. And with this group of volunteers and a lot more people helping out, it's been growing a little bit every year, and just, I think it's been getting better every year.
Yeah, we get people from all over the country. It's pretty amazing. I can watch with the ticket sales and see where people are coming from. A lot of people come from the Front Range, of course, and a lot of people from Denver. And when I talk to people, they've heard about it from their sister or their brother, or they've just always known about it. Well, this is one of the oldest birding festivals, or it is the oldest birding festival in Colorado, and it's one of the oldest in the country. So that's quite an accomplishment for our valley. It just is a huge influx. I mean, the hotels are filled everywhere, and you know, the restaurants are busy. It's a big, big event.
Yeah, we've definitely been emphasizing getting the businesses to, well, letting them know about the festival to get ready for a lot of folks. And if you want to publicize your business, we've had a lot of very generous donors this year, sponsors for the Crane Festival, because as Deb said earlier, it is volunteer run. We just want to have folks visiting have a great experience in Monte Vista and all the surrounding communities, so they come back different times a year.
Yeah, and it's just such a wildlife event. I mean, there's not only cranes, but there's usually a lot of bald eagles still around. There's so many geese that are here. We get sometimes hundreds, maybe thousands of pintail ducks, which you don't see that many pintail ducks in places, and they're just a really spectacular duck to see in the spring.
And one of my favorite, there's a lot of porcupines over at Alamosa National Wildlife Refuge, so they're always fun to see. Yeah.
For out-of-town visitors, when they come down, there are a lot of other things to do in the valley. If they're outdoor-oriented, they can visit Zapata Falls, the Great Sand Dunes. You know, it's always great to hike up in the dunes this time of year. Penitente is a great place to hike or climb or mountain bike, although it may be a little bit too much snow to bike right now. But lots of other places to hike and just be outdoors this time of year.
Our groom ski trails might hold up really well this year, too.
And your cross-country skiing.
Cross-country skiing, yes. Suzanne, Deb, Tim, I want to thank you all so much for coming by the studio and to talk to us about this. We're looking forward to being there, too. We went out last year, first time ourselves, to enjoy the Crane Festival. I know there's a lot going on, and certainly invite everybody in to come experience this, the 36th Annual Crane Festival, right here in Monta Vista.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 36th Annual Monta Vista Crane Festival takes place March 8th, 9th, and 10th in Monta Vista, Colorado. If you've never been to the San Luis Valley, you are in for a rare treat. With high mountain ranges rising up over 14,000 feet above the valley floor and spanning both sides of the valley, the views are breathtaking.
The schedule of events is action-packed, with many of them taking place or starting at the Sky High Complex on Sherman Avenue. These include crane sunrise and sunset tours, a craft and nature fair with over 200 vendors. Yes, SL Voices will be there too. Colorado Farm Brewery Tours, Valley Raptor Tours, a special 3D tour presentation of the valley's geology, a birder's breakfast put on by our local Kiwanis Club, and of course the keynote speakers Saturday evening, Irv Nichols and Sandra Knoll, who will talk about migrating with the Sandhill Cranes at the Valley 3 Theater. There are things to do and see for all ages.
This year's Crane Festival is a collaborative effort between the Friends of the San Luis Valley National Wildlife Refuge, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, the San Luis Valley Refuge Complex, the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Monta Vista. Special thanks to these organizations and all of the wonderful volunteers who helped to make this event happen.
For a full schedule of events and other information about the festival, check out the links on this podcast page or go to mvcranefest.org. That's mvcranefest.org. On the Crane Fest website, you can also find a wealth of information regarding the Sandhill Cranes, great local places to stay and eat, and you can get your event tickets and so much more. That's the 36th Annual Monta Vista Crane Festival, where the cranes meet the mountains, March 8th, 9th, and 10th, right here in Monta Vista, Colorado. Come enjoy all the fun, sights, and activities. You'll be glad you did. And please make sure to tell them that you listened to this podcast on SL Voices.
Do you recognize that sound? Yes, the cranes are coming!
Sponsorship for the podcast you just heard was provided in part by...
We are SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley. Our goal and mission is to present the brilliance and variety of the San Luis Valley in such a way that people are motivated and interested in becoming more involved in their own communities. Raising awareness and driving traffic to all the towns and events in our area, and letting our visitors know there is much more to this area than meets the eye. By doing this, we increase revenue streams to businesses, as well as awareness and support to nonprofits in the San Luis Valley, benefiting everyone. Practically everyone you know either owns a business, works in a business, goes to school or volunteers in some way or another, or simply lives in their own community. So our goal directly helps your family, friends, and neighbors. It's much more personal to everyone than might be apparent at first. We strive to be the unity in community. As John F. Kennedy said, the rising tide lifts all boats. SL Voice's vision, mission, intent, and goal is to be a big part of helping that tide to rise. Visit our website at slvoices.com to see the most comprehensive calendar of events for the San Luis Valley. Listen to our podcasts, as well as learn some general information about the San Luis Valley. Join our Facebook group at SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley. Once you join the group, you'll be the first to see all of our updates, announcements, and hear our podcasts. Call us at 719-239-1811 or 719-239-1819. You will be speaking directly to the owners of SL Voices. This podcast is also sponsored in part by Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce. The Monta Vista Chamber exists to serve its members and the community at large. Their mission, through the use of effective marketing and promoting, is to create a sustainable business environment and improve the quality of life for their community members. The Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce is located at 947 First Avenue in Monta Vista. You can call them at 719-852-2731. That's 719-852-2731. Or visit their website, montavistachamber.org. That's montavistachamber.org. And yes, SL Voices is a member of the Monta Vista Chamber of Commerce.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events. More listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word too by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your family, friends, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. You can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, the voice of the San Luis Valley.